Okay, and it's good morning to Stephen Wright. Good morning, Steve.
Anthony, how are you?
I'm very... Oh, just a moment. Just talk again there for a moment.
Talk again?
A little bit louder? That's better.
Is that better?
Okay, Stephen Wright. Now, Stephen is Energy Resources Information Centre spokesman.
That's right.
Steve, what actually is that?
Well, it's a voice, if you like. You may have noticed, Anthony, that this project and the whole topic of gas in Australia, in New South Wales, in Queensland, natural gas extraction has become a topic of discussion. And the voices that have been out there in the public mostly have been either those who are strongly against or the industry itself. And so there was a kind of a bit of a gap, really, I think, in the middle, where somebody tried to explain what was going on in terms that people can understand, but that also had some kind of scientific, some kind of evidence base, some kind of information that people can refer to as well, not just the verbal kind of to and fro. So we have set that up, and it's on behalf of industry, make no bones about that. So it's pro-development, generally speaking, but it's only pro-responsible development with the right safeguards and all the right measures in place to ensure that it's safe.
Right, I think, Stephen, with the debate around coal seam gas, I think it's can it be got out safely?
Yes, well, the answer to that, you don't have to trust me for this answer. The New South Wales chief scientist spent 18 months studying this in New South Wales, in Australia and overseas, and came to the conclusion that it was no more risky than other extractive industries, and with proper regulation was safe and had been shown to be in Australia, in South Australia since the 1960s, in Queensland for the last near on decade now, in New South Wales at Camden, just outside of Sydney, for the last 15 years. So it's not some new, mysterious, spooky thing. It is a well-known commodity that is extraction from wells which include hydraulic fracturing. Now, that little history I just gave you then was about coal seam gas and hydraulic fracturing, two things which often get confused. We've actually been taking out natural gas for 100 years in Australia. It started first in southern Queensland without an ecological incident. So there are a few different concepts involved, and coal seam gas is what is proposed here. Let's bring it down to the local area. Coal seam gas doesn't always need fracking. And in this case, Santos, the proponent here, has said there won't be any fracking. So you can put to rest any fears that anybody may have about whether or not there's extra risk in fracking. As I said, the experts say there isn't, but if you have that fear, you can put that to rest because it's not going to happen in the Narrabri project. And the second aspect of it, and I'm sort of going on to a new topic here, but I think it's important because it's come out in a lot of what I've heard from local concerns, from farmers and so on, and that is land access. Will the company come in and ride roughshod over my wishes if I don't want it? The answer to that is no. So the company has given an ironclad guarantee that it will not enter anybody's property to put facilities on their land if they don't want it.
Okay, now just, yes, well, that's been made fairly plain, I think, in everything that I've ever read about it. There seems, going back to Queensland, you know, you say that it's been being done up around Chinchilla and that area for 10 years or a decade. They believe that there's a lot of problems up there. Is there or what?
Look, there aren't significant problems in the issues that are most important, i.e. aquifers, water. In the southern Darling Downs, in that area around Chinchilla, Miles, and so on, Roma, they are getting extra water from deep beneath the earth, way, way deeper than farmer bores goes, than the aquifers exist. They are, you know, closer to a kilometre below ground, which is exactly what is proposed here as well. So it's actually producing water that is beneath bedrock that wouldn't otherwise be available. So in Queensland, not only have they had no damage to water, they have actually got new water resources available for farmers there, which has been very welcome for irrigation purposes primarily, which again is what would be proposed here. So the main concern there, no. There were some earlier concerns, have to acknowledge this, about the land access issue, because some of the companies there, one which was kind of named in a movie of some repute, they did kind of go in fairly gung-ho, I suppose you could say. And that created some ill feeling amongst some people who were unsure, who had their doubts. Mm. So that's what this commitment here is about. That is to not go onto land where people don't want them on the land. And that, by the way, is a commitment that's given in the environmental impact statement, which Santos has lodged with the New South Wales government. And as a result of being stated clearly in that statement, it can be a condition of approval. Therefore, there's no way it can be changed.
All right. Just going back to chinchilla, you hear all these horror stories about children being sick. And also, is it hydrogen that's coming up in the soil? What's
methane
that?
Methane is the gas.
So is it coming up through the soil or what?
In many parts of that area, it is. But it's got nothing to do with the gas extraction, which is going on, you know, as I say, you know, between, say, 700 metres and a kilometre below the ground. Because it's always existed there. So all of the farmers in those areas and all of the landowners are well aware that there is gas in areas, including in their groundwater, in some places to the extent where it's not suitable for drinking. Now, that is a fact of the geology. With coal seams, even though that which is extracted well below the earth, quite often there's shallow seams that aren't mined. So a little bit of history to explain it. In the very first use of natural gas in Australia, in 1901, in Roma, the first use of natural gas was to light up the streets of Roma. Now, that gas was extracted from groundwater. There was no drilling required. There was no bores. They extracted it from the groundwater. Oh, well, it was a bore, but it was extracted from the groundwater. Right, there was no
coming
well.
Coming up with the water.
That's right. Because there was that much gas that close to the surface.
Right.
So that is the explanation there. To take it to the next step, Anthony, because I've read, you know, a lot of what you're talking about, the Queensland Health Department has done two investigations into the health claims that are made by a couple of families in a particular area of the southern Darling Downs. And what they came to the conclusion was that there's no connection between what's going on in the gas industry, what's going on in the air around that area, and the reported health concerns. Now, people are right to be worried if these things occur, but I don't think there'll be any reason why Queensland Health would twice investigate and twice come to the conclusion that they can't find any connection if it wasn't a serious issue. That would be stretching the acceptance in terms of government responsibility.
All right. That explains that as far as the whole gas is concerned.
Yeah.
The government is talking about huge shortfalls in the amount of gas that's required in the next few years. What's your thought on that? Because that is one of the reasons they're saying there's no shortage of gas. Mm. Well, there isn't really any shortage of gas, is there? If we didn't send it overseas.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I'm glad you raised that, Anthony. There is no shortage of gas in the ground in Australia. We could sort ourselves out without any difficulties. And by the way, the project that's proposed here would probably deliver about 50% of New South Wales' needs for the next 20, 25 years. So it's a very significant contributor to solving this gas question, whatever exactly the gas question is. So to try to answer that, you have to remember that there are two different aspects to the shortage. One is about driving electricity. The other is about manufacturing. And about half of the demand in New South Wales is for manufacturing industry. Sure. So it's not about the electricity, it's about manufacturing. Now, there was previously enough gas for this, but it all, bar the 5% from Camden that I mentioned earlier, bar the 5% from Camden, all came from Bass Strait or the Cooper Basin. Mm. Cooper Basin, South Australia, Bass Strait, South Victoria. And it was piped in. Now, those assets are starting to run short. At the same time as this, and this is a coincidence, what's happened is the development of new fields in Queensland has fed the creation of an export industry, a new export industry. And the ACCC said last week, well, in the midst of this debate, the ACCC chairman said that would not have been set up without the Queensland gas fields, so the export facility would not have been set up without those Queensland gas fields because they would not have had enough supply. Mm-hmm. And those gas fields are feeding the Queensland export operation. Now, what that has done is created a new export price for gas. So where there's any surplus at any time, and bear in mind that the demand goes up and down in different areas at different times, depending on what weather's doing and, you know, lots of different variables, any surplus, rather than being stored somewhere, is going up the channel for potential export because it's a higher price.
Yeah.
So that has had the effect of, in economic terms, lifting the average price that's paid. It's not... It doesn't determine the price, but it has the effect over time of lifting the average. So the way that you address that is to get more supply into the system so that it doesn't draw gas up to it, that it continues to depend on that Queensland coal seam operation, which is growing up there. And there is a lot more gas out there as well, which needs to be developed. So in the short term, the answer is... we need more gas to be developed. In the longer term, we also need to make sure that there is sufficient delivery where it's needed. So that's about the efficiency of the operating network.
All right, so we've covered that environmental side of it, especially in the Pilliga. It's a state forest or whatever.
Mm.
And it's a beautiful area out there if you... you know, you like bush and that sort of thing. And there are some really great spots out there that have never been touched by human hands, you know. And they're going to go and put, 850 wells out there. Mm. How much damage is that going to do to the forest?
Yeah, well,
I know it doesn't take up a lot of room to put a gas well down. I mean, a couple of metres... then they got a fence around it, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
So, yeah, maybe half a hectare or something, but you've got to get roads there, you've got to get pipelines there, you've got to do everything like that. So there is going to be a lot of disturbance to the Pilliga's forest.
Okay, well, let me pick up on the last word you said first, Anthony, because it's a very important question. The disturbance elements, according to the environmental impact statement, is going to be 1%. Of the total area. Now, that's 1% of a fairly large area, granted, but it means that the disturbance is not going to be of the wasteland type, the raising to the ground of enormous areas that is sometimes painted by opponents of the proposal. Now, it is going to be in the forest, and it is also going to be in private land outside of the forest. I think it's about a 40-60 split. So the company has been, of course, very cognizant of what it must do, not just its obligations, but what it must do to reassure people about that. So in the environmental impact statement, there are commitments about avoiding damage where it's possible, as much as possible, in every element of the project, protecting particularly the... sensitive flora and fauna considerations in the forest. Also considering the Aboriginal cultural heritage. And I know that the government departments and Santos have both been spending a lot of time talking to the Aboriginal communities here to try to make sure that their cultural sensitivities and their heritage is completely preserved in this development. So those are key elements of making sure that people can be reassured that whilst there will be an impact, that the disturbance is going to be as small as possible, and in fact estimated at 1% in the EIS.
All right, well, we're just about out of time. Is there anything you want to add to what we've spoken about? The EPA were here last week, or the government here, explaining what was going to go on. We've got 2 minutes left, so if you can just give us a rundown on what might have happened there.
Well, there's one other thing, and that is the broader community, if you like, benefits. We've talked about water's going to be protected, and in fact there will be water benefits for local farmers. There will be economic benefits for landowners who host facilities. So they are going to be very direct, and in the Queensland example tells us that a lot of farmers there have talked about their property being drought-proofed, for instance. Now, that's a strong word. Wouldn't use it lightly. Very strong.
Around here, it's...
But if it's providing you with some assistance, then that's a good thing. If you're getting income, that's a good thing. If you're getting better fences and access roads, that's a helpful thing. In addition to that, there's going to be a regional development fund, $120 million, which is going to support local programs. And for the state as a whole, $1.2 billion anticipated in royalties. So there are going to be big economic benefits as well. Mm-hmm. And what this environmental impact statement is about telling you is that you need not fear that there's going to be some terrible economic environmental impact. And one other thing I should have mentioned earlier when talking about water, this is not drawing down on the...
Great Artesian Basin.
Or any other of the water sources that are used by people here. It's much deeper. The drilling is much deeper. Mm. It's not going to affect those water supports, those sources.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. Thank you very much for your time today, Steve. It's been very interesting talking to you.
A pleasure,
and
Anthony.
I'm sure we're going to get some comments back about this, which is good because we do have somebody from the other side of the argument coming on next week. So... it'll be interesting to hear what they have to say. So thanks very much for your time today.
A pleasure.
We're going to the news now.